et je dirai aux gens: refusez d'obéir, refusez de la faire, n'allez pas à la guerre, refusez de partir. S'il faut donner son sang, allez donner le vôtre. Vous êtes bon apôtre, monsieur le président. Si vous me poursuivez, prévenez vos gendarmes que je n'aurai pas d'armes et qu'ils pourront tirer.
Hello, this is Chichi.
I'm Donnie fucking Don't.
And this topic of the week of June 24 is peace and pacifism.
The words peace and pacifism have always annoyed me. Every time I hear these words, some part of my brain starts playing a Cheech and Chong movie. Another part of my brain revisits endless arguments about nonviolent civil disobedience. Between these two mental associations are a lot of other things, but mostly things I don't like. Yet when I really sit down and think about what I want my life to be like, I'm not vibing the whole Valhalla eternal war thing. On the right day, I could even enjoy reading some Tolstoy. So when my brain marbles are knocking about at the utterances of peace and pacifism, somehow these obnoxious associations stand out. Well, that's me. What about you? At first impression, what do the words peace and pacifism bring to your mind? Moving beyond these first impressions, what are your deeper thoughts about peace and pacifism? As anarchists, these have been important questions throughout our history. During times of war, as if it isn't always times of war, these questions seem even more relevant. Is peace activism an important anarchist project for you? What have your experiences of pacifists and pacifism been within anarchist spaces or spaces that anarchists have entered into? How many times have you heard the Gandhi and Dr. King routine? Do you hear it more now or less now? Are there times when advocating for peace and pacifism is good and other times when it is very bad? Are there important differences between a peaceful daily life and a peaceful society? That's it.
Okay. Well, I want to start. First, I do like this discussion, and I do like a lot of discussions that get like this concept and try to develop it. It doesn't matter where the person starts. I think being able to develop it in other ways, and even like you can see in the comments, it's an interesting thing for me. But I've been thinking, and this topic specifically helped me think that like a lot of our problems is because of words, not because of words, but because sometimes we like these words, they can mean so many things. And they absolutely opposite. And so they are good as a discussion, but they become a problem if we are trying to find a solution on them. Like, I've been thinking that the solutions are really not in the words, but they help us to think. They help us think about our experience and other people's experience. We just should not like take them too seriously, like these concepts, because yeah, people do have different understanding, and if we get too attached to the words, yeah, they can cause more problem than, I don't know, interesting things. But I don't think that's what the person is doing. I think the person who suggested the topic is opening for conversation, so I'm interested on that. I have a lot of thoughts on it. What about you?
I do. Yeah, I mean, maybe I think one of the reasons why the topic is so agitating to me is that I don't think that the impreciseness of the words being used here are a bug. I think they're like a feature. Like, I think the reason that the word violence is so flexible is actually like on purpose, and people who use it that way, not accidentally, but intentionally, maybe without realizing that that's what they're doing, but like very intentionally. Where like after like 20 years of dealing with like people talking about nonviolence, this and that, like, I feel like the word violence is actually just a stand-in for anything I don't like, and actually has like no bearing on whether or not that thing modifies a physical object or a person or just someone's emotions. Like, it's all entirely contextual for whether or not they like the act that is occurring, basically.
I think that's true, but I also think that sometimes, in the anarchist perspective, violence is also taken, and that, like, from the demonstrations and etc., like, violence is when people are talking about violence, is the monopoly of violence. It's not the fighting back, but it's the state violence. And whatever is not state violence would be, because it's in a different scale, it's something else. I don't know. I feel that that can, is also one way, because I remember, like, in 2013, in South America, there was a lot of these things written on the walls that was like, violent is the state. And yeah, and it was a moment when the black blocs were also going out on the street and breaking banks. And they're one of the things they said is like, we're not attacking people. We are attacking, like, buildings and etc. But we also know, and that I don't remember if people mentioned that on the comments or if they mentioned of the person who wrote the topic mentioned that, that also in the anarchist history, we have anarchists that attack people. Like, we have Emilian He that threw a bomb on the Café Terminus, and he defended his position because he said our kids are women and our workers are being destroyed every day by this class. So I'm throwing back to them what they are constantly doing to us. Something like this. Not exactly. Anyway, so, but I know I just said that the words sometimes are not important or should not be taken that seriously, but it kind of bothers me. And this is not because it's not true. It's because it's true. It bothers me that sometimes it becomes just a matter of opinion. But I think that it bothers me because then people take their opinion too seriously. And that, may be what bothers me. But anyway, so, because you were saying,
I was saying it's just a stand-in for the phrase, like, things I don't like, basically, and has no bearing on anything that's actually happening. So, like for example, like, the Black Bloc, or some person speaking for their participation or another's participation in the Black Bloc, can say that, like, breaking windows isn't violent, right? But if I'm your ex-partner and I come and break the windows on your apartment while you're inside of it, no one's going to be like, well, I'm glad he's dealing with that non-violently. You know, like...
That is true.
Right, yeah, I mean...
Because the person feel... I mean, it's just...
Yeah, the person's terrified inside. No, of course.
The thing is just the banks and the institutions is not...
They're not so, people.
And they are not the target. Because let's say ex-partner throw a rock in an ex-partner window, the target is not, it's not the person's house. Like, it is the person. It's just like, you're not hitting the person physically because it might get you in too much trouble, but you're, like, showing in a certain way that that's mostly what you want to do.
Sure.
So they are still the target.
Well, and it all exists on a spectrum, right? Where, like, during a protest against Obama's second inauguration in D.C., like, someone smashed the windows out of a Hooters, but the Hooters was open and it was filled with people, you know? And so it's like, okay, so, like, people sitting in there while someone smashes the windows, like, I mean, smash up a Hooters for all I care, and maybe with people inside, but you can, like, not intend something violently, but, like, for the people inside who don't know what's happening next, right? Like, yeah. That can also, so I think, like, I guess that to me, that's the thing, is that there's, like, there's nothing inherent, like, if you...
It's the thing of good and bad. There's nothing inherently good or bad.
Well it's basically. Just, that's my point. It's just a stand-in for stuff people do or don't like, where, like, if there's a bank and it's abandoned and they decide they're going to take the building down and they come and a professional company sets charges and they demolish it, right? That's not considered violent. But if someone is still operating that bank, even if it's closed for the night, and someone comes and sets charges and demolishes it, like, now we've got a bank bombing or whatever, right? And so, yeah. Like, and that's violent, right? And so I think there's just no, I mean, and all the way down to like during Occupy. I think like my breaking moment for any of this was like during Occupy, where people were like blockading banks. And we had like these whiny fucking pacifists talking about like the violence of like costing people their paycheck who work there or something like that. Yeah. Right. And just like, and it was just like, oh, violence is like literally just anything that makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. And it, I mean, and sure, we can talk about like the state being violent, but like to me, that's still just like when you talk to these people, anything that they can justify is not violent. Where you're like, okay, well, like, what if you're like being attacked on the street in the middle of the night? Well, they'll be like, well, that's not violence. That's self-defense. And you're like, okay, so hitting someone in the head with a rock is not objectively violent. It's only violent if that person has not hit you yet. So the act is not violent or not violent. It's just you like this thing and you don't like that thing, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to stick words in their meanings in this sense. I feel like context and a lot of things are very important. And also, I mean, I know we're mostly discussing the meaning of violence, but the question was the meaning of peace and pacifism. But I think it makes sense that because, as an example, I was also thinking, because I started to think all the ways, and that's also because of some of the comments. I think Lumpy mentioned that how this topic allowed to think this huge space between the absolutely known, what's the word? I forgot. Like a state of apathy against like becoming a martyr or something.
Sure.
And there is a lot of things in between. And then I think there was another person right after that mentioned something about not being born, but the fact it, sorry, I'm doing circles, but the fact is that the thing of the being born or something like this, it reminded me because I discussed that with friends before, like how giving birth and being birthed it can be considered like a violent thing because it is a lot of pain. It is like a stretch of, and on one end, it's a stretch like of the female body. On the other end is like this being compressed. And that is the natural birth. There's also like other, I'm not even going to start talking about C-section or things like this. It's a different.
Yes, certainly.
Because there is also the medical violence. Yes, but I'm not going to.
Certainly cutting another human open is very contextual as to whether or not that's violent.
Yeah,
even
but,
though the same act in two scenarios, one is viewed one way. Yeah.
Anyway, that could be considered violence. But then I thought maybe that's not so much about violence. It's about, and that's okay. And that's, I did like a lot of the comments this time. And there was another person who mentioned that I even marked here. It's, I've long understood violence to be a condition of the world, and they keep going. But the thing is, you can call it violence, but you can also call like it struggle. And it is true. Like you just being alive, it's a struggle that never fucking ends. So peace in this sense could be like just being dead, but also there are moments of like rest. And if I wanted to go back to concepts and whatever, but it's because it's a good concept. I think Nietzsche has like the rest of the warriors. I don't know how is the term in English, but it's something like this. Like the warrior has this moment of rest that it's still alert about what is going on, but it's not fighting. And I think that that's basically life. Like you are not, while you're still alive, you are not absolutely in a non, there's, even when you're resting, you're on vacation, something, you are attent, or you should be, to what's going around, you know, because anything can happen, you don't need to be anxious. If you're an anxious person, you don't need to be that anxious. Being alert is not being worried that the world is going to end. It's just like, you are aware of your surroundings. You, of course, when there's no weird movement or sound, you're relaxed. But if you hear something like, you look, we're animals, and other animals also have this. So in this sense, like, it's just because we know that being alive is this struggle, is this thing that, and it's not easy, doesn't mean that it's bad. It's just like you, to grow up, you fight, there is pains in your body when you're going to, like, from what's called childhood to through puberty to what's called adulthood, like your body aches, and there's also all the hormones inside you, and they are very intense, and things are painful, and feelings are painful, and physically you have a lot of, so there's a lot of things that could be considered violent that happens to you, but it's not violent in the sense it's bad. It's just like you don't change, you don't move if this, without this, there's always a rupture needed, and this rupture will be painful in some way. You can learn to enjoy the pain, but I'm going in circles again, but it's just to say that, yeah, in this case, the peace in, as opposed to struggle, I think don't exist. The peace as opposed to violence, then we get to a point where the perspective of the person, I think, maybe as you were saying, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that the person touched on in the post was like anti-war activism or peace activism. And I think this is different. And I think also like the term pacifism maybe has had a lot of like meaning drift, where like we had in the 60s, like a very robust pacifist movement here in the US, but like their idea of pacifism was like tearing up train tracks so that nuclear weapons could not be moved across the country, and like breaking into draft offices and dumping the draft cards on the floor and setting fire to them, and sometimes the draft office itself and stuff. So like that is a version of pacifism that I can respect. Similarly, you know, people, yeah, talk about like Martin Luther King a lot. And I think like he had very heavily armed contingents about him, like he, and around him. Like he was not, it's not that he was committed to dying a martyr or like letting people abuse him. Like the protests were simply performances. And for the purpose of like those particular performances, he didn't think that hitting people back was like good optics, essentially, right? But that's like a particular type of performance existing in an ecosystem of a lot of different types of activism and struggle during that time. And so, yeah, when people say like, what about Martin Luther King? I'm like, what about him? You know?
Yeah.
It's like if you're talking about like eating meat or something, and people are like, well, like, what about sloths? They only eat vegetables. And you're like, cool, man. Like, try to fill a fucking world with sloths and see what happens.
A fucking what?
A fucking world with sloths. You know, like, yeah, they're like one animal that exists in a much broader ecosystem. And it's got its niche, but like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, but yeah, I think the reason that like, being able to put a finger on what the word violence means and why it's been important to me is just because it's used in opposition to these ideas of nonviolence and peace. And to me, like anti-war activism has nothing to do with like peace or pacifism or anything like that. Like, anti-war activism is like how I got into like activist, anarchist, any of that kind of stuff, when we invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. And yeah, I mean, like to be anti-war is simply to like support it, in the case of growing up in the US, at least, like to be anti-war is simply to like help facilitate the failure of the US in its war efforts, basically.
Yeah.
Hippies did not end the Vietnam War. Like the Viet Cong ended the Vietnam War. And like arguably like US soldiers that like fragged their commanding officers contributed to ending the Vietnam War. Like what the 60s anti-war movement at home contributed to that was like arguably like support for soldiers that resisted, demoralization of soldiers that were not resisting, and like maybe creating like a slightly untenable domestic situation through a lot of bombings and like protests that were terrible, like PR black eyes for the ruling parties, like the 68 DNC and stuff. But the idea that like a peaceful anti-war movement does literally anything is pretty laughable.
Yeah, I think it's less about peace and more about being active, maybe, you know, in opposition to being passive. Like, you are not going to change anything just being passive. Things are just going to remain as they are. So even if you call yourself a pacifist, some action is needed. And then this action might be considered violent for some people or not. But I think and one thing that I wanted to add to is that different situations, different problems, not problems, it's more different conflicts, they can have different tactics in different moments. Because, I don't know, sometimes, like, if you have, I don't know, a ton of people that just sit in a place and just, like, let's say in a main road, and then the cars cannot come in, and there is, I don't know, let's say it's against moving gas or something. I don't know. It can do something.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's no single tactic that I'm like,
yeah,
against. My issue is just even attempting to categorize those tactics as violent or non-violent,
yeah,
is my issue. A, because it's like a very loaded value word in our culture. And so, like, no one refers to something as non-violent without like a certain smugness, you know what I mean? And no one, and so to me, like, that's the issue, is like trying to figure out what the line of violence, because also like, yeah, sorry, I'll finish my sentence. Like, trying to figure out the line of like what is or is not violent or non-violent. I think categorizing tactics into those are counterproductive to begin with. And also, like, whether an event was like a violent or peaceful or nonviolent event, like, if whatever you're doing has any effect, like, the police will initiate violence and you will be blamed for it. So, like, the idea that you had a peaceful protest is not some valor or like accomplishment. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. Like, if the thing you're trying to do is have a protest where people are not traumatized by police, you know, by damage to their physical person by the police or whatever, so that they come back and bring their friends next time so that it's larger next time, that's fine. Like, you can do that kind of math, but the idea that, like, yeah, that you're going to have a peaceful protest and that this peaceful protest will, like, is good on the merit that it was peaceful. It can be good on the merit that, like, the people there weren't traumatized by bodily harm, but, like, it's not good on the merit that, like, do you know what I mean?
I know, but I think that's why I said right in the beginning that I thought not looking for solutions in the words, but they are good for discussions and good for us to think. But also,
it's not just the word. Like, I don't even think they're, like, a good conceptual framework, even if you, like, swapped out better words.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Because also it's a perspective. Like, anything that is disruptive for the state order is not considered peaceful by the state and will have a violent reaction from the police. Doesn't matter, even if it's people sitting down. And yeah, and on the other hand, some people would think that if they're not actively either destroying something or they are destroying something, but they are not attacking people, they would say this is a peaceful protest or connected to the pacifism. Because, yeah, peace and pacifism, I do think we can kind of differentiate them. And even though I don't think they have very clear definitions, also because for the state, peace is when, like, everyone is obeying and not doing anything. And that's not peace for the people who are under pressure and under oppression and whatever. So it's not peaceful. Like, you are in constantly struggle with the, yeah, there's a hard energy that is not peaceful at all there.
Yes.
And
yeah, a peaceful plantation in the early 1800s is nothing yes, to be valued,
yeah,
you know.
And on the other hand, like, yeah, I do understand, like, peace can be also, like, when from another perspective, it's like peace, I think it can be understood. I would understand it like how Nietzsche mentioned the warrior's rest. Like it's a moment that, okay, I don't need to jump out and fight right now. Like I'm alert because that's just life, but I can relax my muscles a little bit. I don't need, you need this rest from time to time. Everyone needs, like, you can't, because otherwise your body start aching. And I mean,
well, and that's, to me, that's I think that's another great point. I don't know whatever happened to him, but Ward Churchill used to talk about how, like, pacifists are actually, like, I mean, most pacifists are actually, like, incapable of being peaceful, because if you don't have the, like, they don't develop their ability to do, for lack of a better word, violence or whatever. And, like, if you don't have the ability to do violence, then you're actually not peaceful. You're just, like, fucking helpless, right? Like, you wouldn't call, like, an ant on the ground peaceful. They're just, like, totally incapable of doing anything to you.
You know?
We are currently in a part of a country that have black ants. Where you're from, the ants are red and can bite you. So, but you understand what I'm saying.
I don't know if I need to think.
I don't know. An infant. You're distracting.
I'm not distracting. I'm just, you know, I have a hard time to.
Okay.
Just accept things like this.
An infant. A newborn infant is not peaceful. It's helpless. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right. Like, to be peaceful, you have to be able to, like, make the conscious choice to be peaceful.
Yes.
Right.
And also, an infant is really not peaceful. I mean, well, have you heard them screaming?
Yes.
Sorry. It's, but yeah, I see what you, I understand your point.
Defenseless. How's defenseless? Is that a precise enough, terminology?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. So yeah, like you can't come in peace or whatever, right? To a place, you know, to negotiate or whatever. If that's the only way you could possibly come, then you just come in helplessness or in desperation, not in peace.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I agree. Also, it's not connected with what you're saying right now, but what we were talking about before of different tactics and how they, it's just like, I think I've mentioned that before, but I love to mention it all the time, because in early 2000s in South America, a group of Canadian people from some activist organization came and gave, it was the anti-globalization movement era, and they came to give training of Pacific resistance, and people had a lot of fun. I was in the training. I had a lot of fun. And then we were used to just like throw things on places and the police and stuff. And so we said, sure, let's try this new way. And you know what happened? Like, the police had the easiest way in their life in a protest. Like, they were just like almost dancing, like hitting people. And it was a shit show. Like, it was terrible and funny nowadays. But just like, yeah, also you need to take in consideration, like, there's no even pacifist tactics. You need to take the context in regard. Like, they.
Yes. Well, and I think that's another thing, is like the myth of pacifism is that, and I think one of the reasons that anarchists rarely use it, is that usually what you're trying to stimulate with pacifistic resistance is the intervention of authorities, right? So like, if you're like non-violently or pacifistically resisting, logging or something like that, your long-term ideal is actually for like that logging to get canceled because it, like, some act passes or something like that. Or, like the whole, was it Gene Sharp's, like, manual for nonviolent resistance or whatever. Like, you're, like, that where, you know, for, like, regime change or whatever. Like, half the time what they're pushing for there is actually, like, international intervention. You know? Like, and there's nothing pacifistic about, like, getting a law passed. Right? Like, if you want something to be illegal, then the thing that you want is for anyone who does that thing to be confronted by men with sticks and guns, right? Like, if you want something to be against the law, that means that if they do that thing, like, the state punishes them with violence. And in the global context, like, the thing that you're trying to get is, yeah, for, like, other states to intervene on one level or another in order to help you, like, change your leader or something. And so I think that's the other reason that anarchists usually discard, like, pacifism or anything like that, is because normally what they're trying to do is actually just, like, get someone else to do their violence for them, basically, or get someone else to at least, like, threaten to do violence for them.
Yeah, I see. But also, I just disagree in the point that anarchists don't use that much. I think it's still, like, now and in the past, there was always anarchists calling themselves pacifists. I think till today, like, and I want to defend, I know no one was attacking exactly, but I want to defend Lev Tolstoy, because he called himself pacifist. He was a really weird type of anarchist. He was also called himself Christian. But that's not the point. The point is that you can't just look at Tolstoy and think like he didn't do fucking nothing but writing, because that's not true. He had, like, he came from a wealthy family and he had all this land, and he just, like, gave the property of the land for everyone who worked and lived there, because he said, that's not my land. Like, he was, I think, friends with Proudhon, and property is a theft and all that. And he actively did something, and that is disturbing in the surround. Like, he got in trouble with a lot of people, but because of that. And so he would do this kind of stuff. And yeah, he maybe didn't throw a Molotov or a bomb on any place, but there was some action there. So
I mean,
I'm just defending.
I'm not against people who do things that they think are peaceful or whatever. The thing is that the discourse around peace and nonviolence is never about excluding peaceful and nonviolent things. It's always about excluding things that people read as violent. So, I mean, that's the thing is, like, this is no attack on things that don't, whatever, like, meet the bar of violence or something.
Yeah.
Because that's never the direction that the discourse is headed in.
Yeah, I think the peaceful discourse, it becomes a problem when are just people who don't want to deal with conflict, because then they can become very authoritarian in like, because every situation that is starting to show that it is going to be a conflict, they come with this thing, like, this is violent. This is violent to me. This is, and then you avoid, like, to avoid every, then it works kind of the peace on the state. You know, that it's not that people are peaceful. They are just, like, being shut down. They are being muted, silent. That's not peace. Or it is peace.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I would just go back for a moment. I'd put an asterisk on Christian anarchists as well, because, like, I think the Christian anarchists, at least in the U.S., have a long history of arson and sabotage.
Tolstoy
in particular, right? But yeah. Also, I would say, like, the metric by which Christian anarchists operate is different enough that, like, I would understand something along those lines, because their project is different than that of the atheist or, like, whatever other anarchist, insofar as that they have a different set of rules that are not defined by, like, the material world that we live in. And so, like if your project is to, like...
And Christians like martyrdom. Look at their
right.
their big figure.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is part of the project of that is being martyred.
Yes.
Which is not a thing I can relate to wanting. And not just being martyred, but also, like, you've got a list of rules that were, like the longer-term project of Christian anarchism is getting to a heaven. Right. And so, like there's a different way that you approach things when your bigger project is becoming a martyr and going to heaven and meeting the, like, the needs of yourself and others around you, is, like, tied with that, or possibly even secondary.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that's the case for all Christian anarchists, but I'm just saying it's they are operating by an entirely different laws of physics and operating in a world with entirely different, like, rules about, like, with fixed rules about what's good and bad, you know?
Yes.
And so, yeah, I would say that they are a little exempt from the discourse, perhaps.
Yeah.
With that said, I also, like, there's a lot of, like, Christian non-pacifists that do a lot of badass shit. And similarly, I don't know, with, like, liberation theology and stuff like that, where you've got, yeah, I guess that's irrelevant in this case, but.
Yeah. I just, on the side, I imagine, like, these Christians fighters that their whole life is, like, doing a lot of shit and, like, just fighting all the time and their life is very exciting. I bet they would be very bored at heaven.
Maybe heaven is just like a giant battle.
Who knows?
You know, where none of your friends die, you know?
Yeah, so the anarchist...
It's paintball.
The Christian anarchist heaven is it's the endless struggle and... Yeah. I don't know.
Just,
yeah, but you win all the time. You go to you go to the streets and you want to destroy capitalism and you win. And every day you go back and you win again. And that's, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just one more thing from, there was a comment that mentioned, I don't think they were serious, but they were like answering to another comment. And they end if, like, what about the peace pipe? Do you got a problem with that? And forgive me if I'm misunderstood the thing, but like in South America, when you're talking about peace pipe, you are talking about an indigenous practice. And the thing is that, and that's the thing with the words, and maybe that was the thing that started make me think about the word that I said in the beginning, is because that name, peace pipe, is not an indigenous name. It's a name that was given by the Western culture when they were trying to identify what were the practice in the indigenous groups. So, I don't know, maybe it was not a peace pipe. Maybe it was something else. Said it called peace.
Other term for like an absence of war, basically.
Yeah.
Or an absence of like conflict.
Gathering or I don't know. Right. Like it's something else. Anyway, just a comment, not that important, but I did my homework this time. I read the comments. There was not that many comments that I could not read because at some point I just can't read anymore. And this time I could. And I found them interesting. Anyway, I have nothing else to say.
That's a wrap.
For now. Okay, peace.
Donnie fucking don't.
Chee chee.
Peace out.
Peace out.